I appreciate that kind of singing tonight. Glad we can rejoice in a Savior's love, in truth that is in His Word. It's come time for our final message tonight. I certainly appreciate Brother Joe Arthur from down in Jonesboro, Georgia. I appreciate this preacher. He's no stranger to camp meeting. I appreciate how the Lord's touched him and used him. I want you to hear him gladly tonight as he comes to preach and carry out the services. You feel love of the Lord.
Love you, my brother.
Isn't it good to be under this tabernacle tonight? And I'm glad that Jesus is coming again. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and made us kings and priests unto God his Father. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. And the last thing John said at the end of the Revelation, amen, even so, come Lord Jesus. And you know what that means, amen, even so, come. In Greek, that means let her rip, praise God. I'm glad Jesus is coming again. Turn to somebody to your left tonight and say, you're beautiful. You really are. You look good. Now turn to somebody to your right and say, you ugly, but I'm going to be praying for you. Praise God. Woo! I can't believe it. A guy fell for that. His wife just slapped him right there. Oh, man, I love you, Pastor Steve, and I appreciate you, and I appreciate the great heritage, 55 years, preaching the same book, standing in the same way, singing and worshiping God in the same manner. I love old-time religion, and I'll borrow a Mase Jackson statement. I like old-time religion, and the only ones that don't like it are those who ain't never had none. Because if you ever get a good dose of it, it'll run you, praise God. Mark's Gospel tonight, chapter number 5. Mark's Gospel, chapter number 5. It's so good tonight to be with friends and the family of God. Man, what would we do without the Lord, the Bible, the Holy Spirit, and one another? And I'd rather be called an old-time Christian than anything that I know. Mark's Gospel tonight, chapter number 5. And we'll begin reading in verse number 22. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, of course, speaking of Jesus, he fell at his feet. And besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed. And say this line out loud with me, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. We'll leave off the reading in that verse, and we'll pick it back up again in verse number 35. And the reason why we do that is this. While Jesus is on his way to heal this little girl, that's when that woman with that issue of blood presses through that crowd, and she touches Jesus, and Jesus touches her. Amen. Now, there's a couple of things about that I like. Number one, you can't get lost in a crowd. It doesn't matter how many people are trying to get to Jesus, you can't get lost in a crowd. He's a Savior that can save 10,000 at one time and save them all one at a time. You can't get lost in a crowd. Something else about that passage I like, the Lord is not so busy. that while he's on his way to help somebody, he can't stop and help somebody else. Every time I read that passage, I'm reminded of this little song. It is no secret what God can do. For what he's done for others, he'll do for you. Aren't you glad tonight when it comes to God, there are no boundaries and borders or limits to what he can do? We pick it back up again now in verse number 35. And while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead, why troublest thou the master any further? And let me just say, I don't know who this messenger was, but whoever it was doesn't know a whole lot about Jesus. Because he is not troubling the master. I felt something right there. He is not troubling the master. And neither are you when you're praying. Neither are you when you're seeking after him. You're not bothering the Lord. We've been invited to the throne of grace. We've been invited to the throne of grace. The blood of the cross has given us access to the throne of grace. You're not bothering Jesus. He wants to hear from you. He wants you to come. Lord, have mercy. Have mercy. He is not troubling the master. And the Bible said in verse number 36, and as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, say this out loud with me, be not afraid, only believe. Watch your Bible now in verse number 42. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. Underline that 12. It's going to get real big here in a minute. And for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. That little phrase, great astonishment, means wow. God did something for them that nobody else can do. And the Lord being a helper, I want to preach tonight. Praise God, I'm feeling good. 3 or 4 hours. On the daddy, the daughter, and the divine. The daddy, the daughter, and the divine. I believe what we have before us tonight is one of the greatest, most vivid pictures of intercessory prayer that we'll find in all of the Bible. And I do believe this tonight, the most important and needed praying that we will ever do are the prayers that we pray on behalf of others. You remember what Paul told the young preacher? He said, I would that prayers, supplication, giving of thanks, and intercession be made for all of the saints. And let me say this tonight. If you have somebody in your life or in your world that loves you enough to pray for you, you are a blessed individual. Man, can I say that again? If there is somebody in your life and in your world that loves you enough to pray for you, you are a blessed individual. Most of us tonight are here because somebody prayed for us. I love my dad's definition of intercessory prayer. He said, son, intercessory prayer is when you're praying for somebody like you'd want somebody to pray for you if you were that somebody. Oh, aren't you glad one day somebody got to praying for you? And I'm glad that somebody got to praying for me. I'm glad we serve a God tonight that we can get a hold of. Can I say that again? I'm glad we serve a God that we can get a hold of. And I'm glad we serve a God that can get a hold of somebody else because we went and got a hold of him. And I do believe tonight that the course of history has been changed because somebody got a hold of God. I believe sinners have been saved because somebody got a hold of God. I believe revivals have broke out because somebody got a hold of God. I believe sick people have been healed because somebody got a hold of God. I believe drunken daddies got to be sober daddies because somebody got a hold of God. I believe wayward young people have found their way to home and God because somebody got a hold of God. I'm glad the God we serve tonight is the able God. I'm glad the God we serve tonight is the awesome God. I'm glad the God we serve tonight is the accessible God. We have not a great high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And in our text is a picture of intercessory prayer. A daddy with a daughter that went and got the divine. And the divine came to the daddy and the daughter and did for the daddy and the daughter what the daddy could not do for the daughter. Don't ask me to say that again, but I am glad that we serve a God tonight who can do what we cannot do, who can go where we cannot go, and who can say what we cannot say. Notice in our text tonight three things about intercessory prayer. Number one, in the text tonight, I want you to see the mandate that drove this man to Jesus. The mandate that drove this man to Jesus. I mean by that this. What would cause this grown man to go all the way across town and bow down at the feet of Jesus and beg him to come and touch that little girl? Now, what would make a grown man do that? Well, I've already answered it in the introduction. He is a daddy with a daughter. He is a daddy with a daughter. And if you don't understand that, then you are not a daddy with a daughter. Because I'm telling you, a daddy with a daughter will do things he said he would never do. He will go places he said he would never go. He'll buy a bunch of stuff he said he would never buy. All because that daughter looked up at him with that manipulating look she got from her mother and said, "Oh, Dad, please, Dad." My daughter was after something the other day. She said, Oh, Dad, I love to hear you preach the Word of God. I said, "Leave God out of it, honey. How much do you need?" She has a way of gripping the heart of that dad. I want to say the greatest joy in my life outside of Jesus and Mrs. Arthur is my daughter and my son. You say, what would make this man go all the way across town and bow down at the feet of Jesus and beg him? He is a daddy with a daughter. You come to this passage tonight, they're not having a birthday party. They're not having a sweet 16 party. They're not having a graduation party. When you come to this text tonight, they're having a death watch. The Bible said in the King James here that she is at the point of death. You know what that expression means? Her next breath may be her last. Her next heartbeat may be her last. The next second that ticks off of the clock may be her last. She is at the point of death. And notice who this man is. The Bible in the text clarifies it. It says he is Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue. Now that tells me three things tonight. Number one, he is a religious man. He is a good moral man. He is not a drunkard. He is not a thief. He is not a cusser. He is not a profaner. He is not a fornicator. He's not a thug. He is a good moral religious man. But he realizes tonight that his morality and his religion and his goodness is not enough in itself to heal that little girl. You know what God's people need to realize tonight? Sometimes bad things, unexplainable things, unexpected things happen to some of the most spiritual, Christ-like people on planet Earth. earth. Can I remind you tonight that being saved and separated and a dedicated Christian does not isolate nor insulate us from the storms and the troubles and the tragedies of life? Somebody said, well, if being saved doesn't exempt you from trouble, why do you want to be saved? I'll tell you why. It gives you a rock to lean on. It gives you an arm to trust. It gives you a place to go in the midst of your troubles. He is a good moral man, but it's not enough to heal that little girl. Notice the Bible said he is a ruler of the synagogue. That means he is a man of power. He is a man of authority. He is a man that tells other men what to do, and they have to do it. But yet he does not have enough power or authority to command the disease to leave the body of that little girl. You know what Brother Jairus found out in the text? He found out he's come against something that's bigger than him. He is in over his head. I mean, he has so much authority. There are soldiers at his command. He gives the command and grown men have to obey his orders. But he has come up against something that has more authority than him and more power than him. He finds himself facing something that he does not have the ability to start or stop or control. You know what he finds out? He's not only in over his head, but it is out of his hand. There is nothing that he can do. And sometimes desperation brings you and I to the place when we don't have the words to say and we don't have the goodness to act and we're over our head and it's out of our hand. But it tells me something else. He has a wife. He has a daughter. He has a piece of land. He has a house. That tells me something. He is a man of money. He is a man of means, because it takes money to have a piece of land. It takes money to have a house. And you stuck a wife in that house. Somebody better have a job. And you put a wife and a daughter in a house. Somebody better be making some money. And just let me tell all you young fellas in the courting stage, the greatest way to get your girlfriends, mama and daddy, to like you, praise God, get a job. Can I get a witness right there? I mean, he is a man of money. He is a man that can buy some land. He can buy a house. But notice in the text, he doesn't have enough money to buy her health. He doesn't have enough money to buy her healing. As much as he loves her, he cannot buy with money what she needs. I believe I'd be safe in saying that he's in a fix. He's in a jam. He's in a mess. He's up against something that's over his head. He's up against something that's out of his pocket. And he's up against something that's beyond his control. I want to say sometime the mountains are high and the rivers are wide and the valleys are deep and the burdens are heavy. Sometimes our religion is just not enough. Sometimes our authority and our power is just not enough. And sometimes our money, we can't buy what we need. And Jairus can do two things. He can just stand there and watch life slip away out of his little baby girl. Or he can do something else. Realize he's whooped, admit he's whooped, and go get somebody bigger than him. Go get somebody more holy than him. Go get somebody that's richer than him. And can I just give a word of testimony? I'm glad when the storms of life and the situations of life are over my head and beyond my pocket and out of my hand, I'm glad I know one who said all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. There is one tonight who is God. God. There is one tonight who doesn't need my money, for he owns the cattle of a thousand hills, and the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. I'll tell you what drove him. I'll tell you what the mandate is. He's got a problem he can't solve. He's got a mountain he can't climb. He's got an ocean he can't swim. He's got a desert he can't cross. But he knows somebody who knows the way through the wilderness, who can do what daddy can't do, and say what daddy can't say, and go where daddy... Lord, aren't you glad when you've come to the end of your power, and you come to the end of your religion, and you come to the end of your money, a sovereign God steps upon the scene and said, I'm God, I've got it. There's no boundaries and borders and limits to what God can do. You say, I wouldn't have left that little girl. I wouldn't have made that journey across town. I wouldn't have bowed down at the feet of a Nazarene and risked my job and my reputation like Jairus did. That ain't your daughter lying at the point of death. That's not your pride and joy laying at the point of death. It's not you that's run out of power. It's not you that's run out of religion. It's not you that has run out of money. I promise you, when you come to the end of yourself and you realize your money's not enough and your religion's not enough and your money's not enough, it's time to go get God. It's time to beg God. It's time to go get somebody that doesn't need my money and he doesn't need my power. And he doesn't need my religion. I'm glad there is one that's bigger than me, more mighty than me, a lot holier than me. I'm glad tonight. When I can't, he can. When they won't, he will. Aren't you glad one day somebody got a hold of the Savior and he came to where you were and did for you what you couldn't do for yourself? A mandate that drove this man to Jesus. Oh, but number two, I love this one. I want you to see in the text the mission that directed this man to Jesus. He is a man on a mission. Let me stop and say it like this. Do you realize how much faith and courage it took for that man to walk off and leave that dying little girl and seemingly turn his back on her and mom and walk out of that door and go in the opposite direction? If you don't know how hard that was for him, then you're not a real man. Because the hardest thing for a real man to admit, I'm whooped. If you don't believe it, we're going to get your wife up here to testify how you act at Christmas. Boy, you bought your kids something. And when you bought it, they didn't tell you that it came in 9 billion zillion trillion pieces. It's 10 o'clock, Christmas Eve, and you spread the things out on the floor. And if you're a real redneck, bless God, your pliers and duct tape will fix anything. Boy, there stands your wife and she says, honey, you want me to read the instructions? And you said, nope, I don't need that. Just turn that picture around here. Let me see that picture. I'll get it. Do you just let me see that picture? I don't need to. Boy, I feel conviction settling in this place. I don't need the directions. Just let me look at that picture. Boy, it's 12 o'clock and you're still looking at the picture. She's still waving the directions and you won't give it. I mean, it's 2 o'clock. Rudolph is prancing on the roof. He's about to come down the chimney and you're in tears and she's in tears. And what a Merry Christmas you're about to have. And all of a sudden daddy says, boy, he don't want to do it, but he says, honey, you're right. Read them instructions. Two women shouted back there. Honey, you're right. And she reads the instructions and you finally put them in instructions together, and it even looks better than the picture. If come on now, you say amen. It's hard for a man to do that. I want to control it. I want to keep my hands on it. Bless God, I want to fix it. I'm not about to let go. I know what I'm doing. I'm the fixer-upper. Man, it took some faith and some courage for Jairus to let it go and turn his back and walk away, seemingly to go in the opposite opposite direction. Boy, I see Jairus as he turns with a tear and he walks out that door and starts down that cobblestone sidewalk. And I hear somebody say, Jairus, where are you going? And I hear him say, I'm going for deity. I'm going for sovereignty. I'm going for omnipotence. I'm going for faithfulness. I hear somebody say, Jairus, are you going for the priest? Nope. I'm going for the great high priest. Jairus, are you going for the doctor? No, I'm going for the great physician. Jairus, are you going for the prophet? No, I'm going to the message of the prophet. Oh, are you going for the king? No, I'm going to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Are you going for the shepherd? Well, kind of, the good shepherd, the great shepherd, and the chief shepherd. Jairus, where are you going? I'm going for somebody that's got more power than me. I'm going for somebody that's got more money than me. I'm going for somebody that's got more holiness than me. I'm going for somebody that has no boundaries and borders or limits. I've said all I know to say. I've done all I know to do. I'm going to get somebody that can do what I can. My God, I feel like preaching right there. Oh, aren't you glad when you come to the end? Go get somebody who has all power in heaven and in earth. No boundaries or borders or limits. Woo! I hear somebody say, Jairus, how far you gotta go? And I hear him say, for her, not too far. Jairus, how long is it gonna take you? For her, not too long. But Jairus, what have you got to go through to get to where he is? And he points to her and said, for her, not too much. Oh, when it's your little girl, it's not too far, and it's not too long, and it's not too much. I want to say for revival, it's not too far, and it's not too long, and it's not too much. Oh, to see God move again, it is not too far, it is not too much, it is not too hard for the Holy Ghost of God to get a hold of my babies and my grandbabies. It's not too far. It's not too much. It's not too hard. Hey, I'm here to tell you tonight, we need to be on a mission. Don't be discouraged. Don't be denied. Don't be detoured. Go get what you go to get. Praise God, I'm glad we can get to him tonight. Woo! Oh, Lord. You know what I love about Jairus? He knew where to go. You know what I love about Jairus? He knew who to go to. You know what I love about Jairus? He knew how to talk to him when he got there. You say, how do you know that? Look in your Bible. It said when he saw him, he fell at his feet. He didn't get up in his face. He fell at his feet. You say, what's the difference between getting in his face and falling at his feet, whether he goes home with you or not? Oh. You remember in John 11, these two girls have a brother. His name's Lazarus, and he gets sick, and they send for Jesus, but he never gets in a hurry. When you're the great physician, you don't have to. And if your patient dies before you get there, when you're also the resurrection and the life, you don't know any emergencies. And boy, here comes Jesus, right on time, right on time. And son, here comes Martha, independent, fundamental, premillennial, King James only Baptist, runs her finger in the face of Jesus and says, hey, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. That's in his face. He said, your brother gonna live again? And then she starts quoting scripture to the man that wrote the book. Can I just say this? If quoting scripture when you pray helps you pray, then by all means do it. But if you're quoting scripture to remind God of what he said when he wrote the Bible, he remembers. Can I get an amen right there? And Jesus said, read my lips. I am the resurrection and the life. Hey, that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he turns around and says, where's Mary? Oh, preacher, Jesus, she's off in a corner. She's been there for 4 days. She's wept and cried and wept and cried. He said, you go tell her the master's come and he calleth for thee. Time out, newsflash. Aren't you glad for that day? The old time preacher man looked across that pulpit and said, hey, the master's come and he calleth for thee. Boy, the Bible said Martha tires out of that house and she runs in that room and the Bible said calls her sister secretly. I believe that means she got in her ear and said, hey, the master's come and he calleth for thee. Oh, she knew who that was. She knew who that was. Boy, she jumps up out of that solitary place. She dives at that door. And those mourners say, bless her heart. She's going to the grave to weep some more. But she makes an abrupt turn, not to the grave, but to the resurrection and the life. And when she gets out there to where Jesus is, she doesn't get in his face. She falls at his feet. And have you ever seen this? She says the same exact thing her sister said. She said the same exact thing her sister said. If you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. But her position is different. Her disposition is different. Her attitude is different. Her sister is up there in his face. If you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Oh, but she knows not to get in his face. She's been there before. And she falls at his feet and said, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And son, she's a weeping and she's a crying. And honey, about that time, she feels something hit the side of her face. It starts running down her cheek. It starts puddling up on her hands. And she looks up, and not only is she crying, but Jesus is going to crying, and his tears got to mingling with her tears. Her tears got to mingling with the master's tears. Oh, can I say, if you'll get out of God's face and quit accusing God and blaming God and get at his feet and go to blessing God and worshiping God, business is going to pick up. He fell at his feet and besought him greatly. Then he said this, and here's where I lose it. He said, Jesus, if you will come. Everybody but you has been to our house, and she's still sick. But if you, if I wasn't a Baptist, I'd holler hallelujah right there. Hallelujah right there. Oh, he's not satisfied till he gets him. He's not satisfied till he gets him. He don't want a resemblance of him. He definitely don't want a substitute of him. Because there is no substitute of him. And can I say this to the old-time religion crowd? We don't need a substitute. We got the real thing. We got the real Savior, the real physician, the real God. He said, I want you. I want you if you will come. And then he makes this statement. If you will come and lay your hands on her. There was something about the hands of Jesus that had birthed faith in old Jairus' heart. He didn't say, come look at her. He didn't say, come speak to her. He said, it's in your hands. Whew. I got to thinking, what about the hands of Jesus? What about the hands of Jesus that would, what could be so special about the hands of Jesus that would birth faith in Jairus' heart? He'd heard about them hands. Honey, he's a ruler of the synagogue. He has heard the Old Testament read in his hearing thousands of times. He had heard about that hand. He had heard about a hand that's not short, that it cannot save. He had heard about that hand that hung the stars and the moon and thumped out the Milky Way. He'd heard about that hand that scooped out the ocean and mashed down the valleys and traced down the rivers and heaped up the mountains. He had read by that hand. He had separated the waters of despair, made the sun stand still, smashed the walls of Jericho, shield Moses in the cliff to the rock. Hey, shield the Hebrew boys from the fiery furnace, padlock the jaws of the lion in Daniel's lion's den. Hallelujah, them hands that gave sight to the blind, them hands that caused the deaf to hear and the lame to walk and the leper to be cleansed, those hands that touched the casket and the little boy got up and went home with his mama. By the way, them same hands that were folded in prayer in Gethsemane, and them same hands that was pierced and wounded on Calvary, and them same hands that walked out of the cemetery early one Easter Sunday morning and said, I'm he that liveth, and I was dead, and I'm alive forevermore. By the way, you know what I'm talking about, because that same hand reached further down than you could reach up. His saving hand, his guiding hand, his providing hand, his protecting hand. I'm glad tonight it's in the Savior's hand. Watch this, we're going to go in a minute. He looked at Jesus and said, for 12 years, she's been in my hands. For 12 years, I've consoled her with my hands. For 12 years, I've rocked her in my hands. But tonight, Jesus, I realize my hands are not big enough. And my hands are not powerful enough. So today, Jesus, I take baby girl out of my hand and I put her in your hand. Well, I need to tell somebody under this tabernacle tonight, the greatest day in your life and in the life of that person you're praying for is when you take them out of your hand and you put them in the Savior's hand. Aren't you glad tonight? It's good to know it's not in my hand. It's not in the devil's hand. It's not in the world's hand, but it's in the Savior's hand, God's mighty hand. Hallelujah. I'm glad tonight it's in his hand. And I love this phrase in the King James, and it says, and Jesus went with him. And the Holy Ghost just told me to tell y'all he'll go home with you too if you want him bad enough. The mandate that drove him, the mission that directed him. When I'm closing tonight, notice the miracle that delighted this man. It's nothing short of a miracle. Brother Jamie, are you ready to ride? I lied to you last year about if you kept me, I'd share my offering, and I got out before I got my check cashed. But Brother Steve's going to give me cash this year, and I'm going to help you. Oh, Jairus goes out there and says, Jesus, will you help us, please? I know I'm a ruler of the synagogue, but I've done all I know to do. I've seen what you've done with them hands. Will you come over here to my house? And Jesus said, I'm a coming, son. Boy, I believe Jairus. I believe he's a walking tall. I believe he's a saying, hold on, honey. Daddy and Jesus is a coming. Hold on, honey. Daddy and Jesus is a coming. Hold on, baby. Daddy and Jesus is a coming. And boy, here's Jairus and Jesus. Man, they start towards his house. And then all of a sudden, here comes this woman interrupting everything with that issue. sacrificial blood, and she reaches out and touches the hem of Jesus' garments, and she is made whole. She felt it in her body. Now a great throng of people has gathered. I can see Jairus. Man, he's chomping at the bits. He's knowing his little girl's about to die. But you know what I love about him? He's got so much faith. He's willing to watch God work in everybody else's life but his. Woo! By this time, my God, he's got so much faith, he can wait on the Lord. For they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. He's got so much faith now, he can watch God save this man's daughter and this man's son and do this miracle in everybody else's life but his, because he knows his time is a-coming. Amen. And when Jesus felt the virtue go out of him, Jesus turned around and said, "Who touched me?" Time out. One more news flash. When an all-knowing God asks questions, he ain't hunting information. You say, well, if God asks questions, what is he doing? He's creating an atmosphere for you to get real and to get honest. And that little woman said, "It was me, and here's why." And Jairus, taking it in, and that woman tells Jesus, "Sir, the reason why I done that is because for 12 years I've had an infirmity. For 12 years I've been going through this." Honey, I believe when that woman said 12, I believe Jairus perked up and said, "Amen, 12. 12. Yeah. 12. That's how old baby girl is. And you know what? If he can heal somebody that's been sick for 12, he can heal somebody that's been alive for 12. Because 12 is 12 no matter how much you cut. Can I just say he's the one God, the two God, the three God, the 12 God, the omnipotent God. Numbers are no problem with God. And I'm done. I'm done. The scene's about to close. You be Jairus and let me be Jesus. And the scene's about to close. And Jesus says something to that woman. He only says two other times in the King James Bible. He looked at that woman and said, "Daughter." He called her daughter. You'll get that in a minute. He called her daughter. And when Jairus heard Jesus say, "Daughter," I believe he went, "Wow. He's got one too. He knows how I feel. He knows what I'm going through." And I believe he came to the conclusion, if he can heal his daughter, he can heal mine. If he loves his daughter, he loves mine. If he can meet his daughter's needs, he can meet mine. I just want to say, he's in the daughter business. He's in the son business. He's in the mama business. He's in the daddy business. He's in any kind of business you need. When you're not enough, he is enough. He don't need your money. He don't need your religion. You just need God. Woo! And he walked in that house and took her by the hand and lifted her up. And just like a good Baptist, gave her something to eat. And while they come to the instruments tonight, can you imagine? When they had supper that night, wouldn't you like to heard Daddy's blessing on that meal? I believe that little girl said, "Daddy, before you ask the blessing, I got something I want to say, Daddy. You've been a good daddy to me and Mama. And thank you for everything. But, Daddy, the greatest thing you ever did for me is when you realized you were whooped. And you took me out of your hands and you put me in Jesus' hands. Yesterday was Father's Day. It don't get any easier. I love my papa. He went to be with the Lord almost 10 years ago. In fact, this November will be 10 years. It's like yesterday. I loved him. He was my hero, man. And praise God, I'm going to see him one day. Now, I've been thinking about what I'm going to say to him when I see him for the first time. I'm probably going to say, Dad, you really look good in that new suit, sure enough. And I'm going to probably say something like this, Daddy, I sure did miss you. And Daddy, I done my best to take care of Mama while you was gone. But Daddy, I got to tell you, the greatest thing you ever did for me. You see that man up there, Jesus on the throne? Papa, the greatest thing you done for me is when you got me out of your hand and you put me in Jesus' hands. Don't you give up tonight. Don't you believe the dirty, low-down lies of the devil. If God be for you, who can be against you? And tonight, if you need God to get a hold of somebody, you come and get a hold of God and make a transfer. Get out of your hand and get it in the Savior's hands. And get out of his face and fall at his feet. He'll go home with you tonight. The daddy, the daughter, the divine. We're standing all over the building. People are coming.